legends, and welcome to Unbeatable You, where we connect, thrive, and conquer. I'm your host, Brett Robbo, and I'm super grateful for your valuable time. So let's just dive straight in. Keep thriving and enjoy. All right, before we kick off, what are you grateful for today, mate?
I'm grateful for today being able to exercise, having a beautiful wife, having a healthy son, and having family around.
Beautiful.
Speaking to you, mate.
Well, I'm grateful to have you here, mate.
Yeah, it's been ages. We've known each other for a really long time, so it's just good to – I know we speak every so often, but it's just it's nice to just catch up with you, mate.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah. I've got a bone broth there for you, by the way.
Oh, beautiful.
I don't know if you've heard of the brand Jevity RX or not.
I know Jevity well.
So when we first
met, I can't have anything else.
We were in Brio, in Broadbeach.
That's right.
With Scotty Ridden.
That's right.
That's where we first met.
I forgot about that.
So you actually introduced us to that cafe, which introduced us to their products.
Yep.
And ever since then, that's the bone broth and the mayos and everything that they've brought out. I haven't tried their new chocolates yet, but
neither.
The broth is the only one that I have.
We literally only had a salad last night for dinner with the mayo in it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you get the yellow one or the white one?
Got the white one.
Okay.
Yeah,
you tried the yellow one?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah, you got the turmeric.
We use the broth. We use natural broth. We use that every single day.
Mm.
I've had a smoothie before and like it's the first chuck thing that goes in it.
Yep. Any of the cooking, chuck it in.
You love it?
For the kids, absolutely.
It's that good.
And having it like this, like a cup of tea.
It's that good.
This time of year, I have like a few a day.
Yeah.
For the extra.
They've got the fire. Have you seen? They've teamed up with like, I don't know if they still do it anymore. They teamed up with Fire Tonic. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
They teamed up with them and did like this broth, which is perfect at this time of the year. It's got like a really strong hit of like apple cider vinegar and broth. It's like gold standard.
Right. I'll have to have a try.
You'd love that.
Sounds like it might burn a little bit
too. It burns, but like it's the best thing for you at this time of year.
Yeah.
Stops you getting sick from the kids.
Oh, mate, it takes a lot to stop
that. How good's this podcast? Hey. This is just for me, isn't it?
That's right, mate. Broth aside, Ali Day, multiple surf Ironman champion, Coolangatta gold dominator. You are an entrepreneur and co-owner of multiple businesses here on the Gold Coast. You are a proud father and loving, caring husband and just an all-round genuine bloody legend, mate. So thanks for coming in and welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, good. Thanks for having us, mate. That's quite a wrap, so I appreciate it.
It's been a while and there's been a name change. We're just chatting about it off air that the first episode, it was 2017. I think you were episode number 17, actually. So for anyone who hasn't listened to that one, highly recommend to go back because you share a lot about your story and the challenges that you went through back then to get to where you were. But, mate, a hell of a lot has changed since then, including becoming a father. How's life now? What kind of lens do you look at the world through now being a father?
I'd love to go back just quickly on that and listen to that podcast and see what I was saying back then. Be a good reflection for me. But yeah, a lot has changed for both of us. Everything changed. Not everything, but a fair bit changed, obviously, when my wife found out she was pregnant, and then you go through that stage of I'm going to become a dad and it doesn't feel real until, you know, baby comes out and you're holding your son. So still remember those moments of holding him for the first time. It's still the most treasured things. I only got him out of the bath last night and was saying to him, remember when I used to hold you like this? But yeah, you definitely do.
How old is he now, sir?
He's two, maybe two and a half. He's three in November. So it goes, you know, it's that old saying that people say, oh, it goes quick. It actually goes so quick. Mm. You'd know that. So, yeah, I'm trying my best to just cherish every single moment, and slow down a little bit more and look at him and kiss him and hug him and spend time with him. But every now and then I get dragged away and I'm in my own head. But, yeah, definitely, mate, to answer your question, I definitely look at life a little bit differently to how I probably did back in 2017.
Does it bring more or a different kind of purpose to what you do?
Definitely, yeah. It's like it's for him now and for her. It's always been for her, but it's for him and it's for hopefully for his siblings down the path. But it's not that it's no longer about me, but what I go out and do every day is a reflection on him.
It's right? More than just you.
Yeah, so my job that I do, I want to do it well for him because it can give him a better, not upbringing, but it helps, I guess, in that way. And probably more so, I want him to see, I just want to be a really good dad to him, you know, in so many ways, like create memories and teach him things and spend time with him. And I'm starting to realize how quick life can, I'm at 32, you know what I mean? But I'm starting to realize how quick it can go. And, you know, I feel like I'm at that age where my parents are starting to get older. You know, I'm getting older. Like things move so quick now. So I've just got to, yeah, make sure that, yeah, as I said before, slowing down and just being, I just want to be the best dad I can be for him. I want him to like, be like, yeah, my dad was the best. You know, he gave me this and gave me that. And it's not giving him things, but teaching him those things.
Mm.
And
gave me time, gave me love.
Yeah.
Gave me presence, gave me connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So just all that stuff, mate.
And you've designed it to your life that you, I noticed that you take Kel and Denny Boy on a lot of the trips when you travel away too. So you've really tried to incorporate the family life into your sporting life.
Yeah, there's definitely been moments, mate, I wouldn't lie, where this year was tough, like throughout the season when they've got both of them had gastro at one of the races. But I just, you know, and I just raced in Perth recently, like at the end of the year, and won my third Australian Ironman title. And he was pretty good over there, but you're in a room the size of this for 10 days. And there was chances of him like not coming over, but I just wouldn't be my best self if they weren't there. Mm. And they almost went home. So Aussie starts on like our national start on a Wednesday. I reckon on the Thursday, they were like, we're going home. We're getting the red eye. We're getting out of here. You need to do your job and then you can come back and you're in off season. But I'm so glad they didn't. I don't think I would have won on that Sunday if it wasn't for them. And I really mean that. So just, I love having them around. It's, it just makes me feel relaxed. It makes me feel calm. It gives me motivation. And it's just how cool that we can do it.
Yeah.
I've only got the one kid at the moment, which is, you know, pretty, we're pretty lucky like that. So we can sort of just, this family unit in and out of Ubers and taxis and trains and buses and hotel rooms. So it's a, I'm going to do it while I can, and we're doing it at the moment, which is cool. And I love them being along. I think that's a great question, mate. Thanks for asking that.
I love seeing it happen because I think you're kind of leading the way there too, to show that you can incorporate both lives. Mm. And I mean, if your performances were going downhill, we might question and say, how much sleep are you missing out on?
There's definitely had a couple of times where I'm like, but what can you do?
Well, it's a choice, right?
Yeah, there was one round at Coogee this year, but every dad and every mum would be like that, right? It's just my job is different. Like you got to get up and race. But there was one time in Aruba this year, he slept so good on the Friday night, but then the Saturday night before the Sunday, he was shocking. And you're just going, how am I going to get up for today? But I ended up winning that day.
Mm.
It teaches you a lot with just what you can actually overcome, do, conquer, be okay with.
You know? Yep. I was going to say that too, because pre-kids, if I had a scattered night's sleep, I'd be really toning down my training or not training. And then when kids come along and you think, oh shit, if I don't train because I've had a bad night's sleep, I'll never do anything.
No, I've got to do it now.
What does your whoop band say on a day like that when you get up to compete and you've had a scattered sleep? Does it say, oh, you probably should take a rest day today?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely get up. People ask me that all the time, like, how do you deal with that? But yeah, you get better at it. I think it's like from what I got told, I did we did a thing years ago with it on a TV series back in, I think it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I went to America and we did a thing with the Navy SEALs, and the Navy SEALs said that it's not the night before it's the night before that counts for your sleep. And
it's
also
the night before.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, we're in our preseason at the moment. I also think it's like you're doing it now. Like I'm getting the reps in now of sleep and nutrition and recovery and things like that. It's people, yeah, they focus so much on, which is good, like a couple of days before race day, but also at the same time, the work's been done.
Yeah.
It's pretty fine-tuned athlete, you know, nowadays. And so, yeah, definitely though, mate, I wouldn't be human. I'd definitely have moments where I'm stressed and like, why isn't he sleeping? Like, why did it happen tonight? Why has he got gastro? Why is he here? So, but I think he's there to for those journeys. And to be honest, mate, like I wanted to, you know, we'll probably touch on it later, but I just wanted to get a photo or like have that memory of winning a race or being in a race and having him on the beach. And now he's getting older. He understands what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, like, cool. You know, he put my goggles on or my cap on or put my singlet on and he'll walk around and be like, I'm Ali Day, and which is really cool. He's actually got a video on my Instagram if anyone wants to go have a look. So he'll put my Cracker. Oakleys on and things like that. So that's cool. And I'll be like, what does Dad do for a job? And he's like, Daddy races. So it's like, it's cool. He can walk around the beach and he can pick my board and ski over a thousand, you know, thousands of boards and ski on the beach. So it's pretty not that I want him to be an Ironman or do it. It's just, you know, that's the thing that is pretty cool between the two of us.
Well, at such a young age, you're just role modeling commitment and dedication and preparation and community and connection, all of these kind of different things that he's going to be picking up on, whether he, you know, does sport for a living or not, that doesn't matter. He sees how important it is and how much it plays a role just beyond the actual physicality of that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, he sees the friends I have, like you said, the relationships, like the everything that goes into it, as well as just, I think the biggest thing is like the connection we have with the water. Like that's like one big thing from that I want to pass down on, is just like the just how the ocean has changed my life and nature has changed my life, and to respect Mother Nature and just how much you can get from literally the ocean. I heard Wes Berg say it years ago. It's like, if it wasn't for the ocean, I wouldn't probably be sitting here. Like, I'd be doing something different. You know what I mean? I just want to be able to pass that on to him. Like right where you guys used to live in Miami, we're always out the front there.
I used to bump into you a lot
all
there
the time, mate. Well, you did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, I remember the kids actually playing one. Like, sort of, Daniel was pretty young, but yeah, what a spot to grow up anyway around the beach.
When we caught up in 2017, you had some titles under your belt and Cool and Get a Gold titles. Now you've got some more under your belt, but it hasn't been smooth sailing where it's just been victory after victory. And I haven't actually spoken to you about this openly, about that challenge in 2020, was it?
Yeah.
In 2019.
Get the years mixed up there.
Yeah. Easy to do. Mate, I'd love you to just let us know what happened there and how that played out, and just sort of start to unpack that part of your journey, because it hasn't been smooth sailing and these victories haven't come easy for you, especially in the last couple of years.
No, it definitely hasn't. And it's great, as I said, to talk about. Like, it's a good reflection piece for me anyway. But I just, for the listeners out there, it was, if you go back and listen to, probably listen to the 2000, was it 2017 we caught up?
Yep.
Yeah. If you listen to that, around that time, I was still, I feel like still making my way in the sport. Like, it was there or thereabouts winning races, but still had some things that I wanted to tick off. But that year, 2019, I'd just gotten married. I think I'd won a fair few races the year before. We'd just been in Hawaii on a holiday, and I came back and was just about to start our preseason training. So we normally do 20 weeks in the lead up to a Cool and Get a Gold, and we might have been maybe 5 or 6 weeks into that preparation. It was in July. And pretty much for everyone listening, it was surf life saving. Wanted to put the sport back on the map, which they had every right to do. And what they tried to do was bring Ninja Warrior, like a TV show. Everyone's probably heard of that, obviously, mate. They tried to bring components of that into an actual Ironman race. So it really separated the traditionalist away from, like, this new school sort of race. It was just a one-off race. They put a lot of prize money on it. And the interesting thing was, and we'll talk about it now, was the fact that I feel like, you know, we'll get onto it. I get injured in a sec, but where I went wrong was there was one side, as you said, the traditionalist, the other side that didn't want this sort of, or wanted this thing to go ahead. It's kind of like the live golf thing or 2020 cricket. And I sort of got caught out, mate, pleasing everyone. You know, I pleased the powers of be, because I thought, yeah, I could be involved in this. This could be good. I want to keep everyone happy. Feel like I could be pretty good at it, and I feel like I could make some money and win it. And then the other side of it was, you know, I had close friends that were like, they didn't want to do the race. They thought it was wrong, and I was agreeing with them, signing petitions not to do the race. So it was kind of, I was in the crosshairs, right? So on a Friday afternoon, I went out and agreed to do the race and agreed to do a promotional shoot. And I was on a set of monkey bars, obviously being Ninja Warrior. Slipped off a set of monkey bars that were pretty high, landed on some pretty solid ground. Looked down, both the wrists were at an S-bend. And I thought, that doesn't look right. And then I guess probably went into a little bit of shock, got driven to hospital, asked the guy, I've told this story so many times, asked the guy in the car how bad it was. He said, mate, they're just dislocated. I said, how long do you reckon? He said, oh, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, I can't miss that much. I'm in my train. And turns out obviously got a lot serious. I got to hospital, walked in, and they just took one look at me and said, yeah, you're going to need surgery. Never had surgery in my life. A good part of the story was I was lucky enough that I had someone like Hal Rice from Q-Scan and he was able to just connect the dots between the hand therapist, the surgeon, and it's one of those things that's it's not what you know, it's who you know. And at that time, Kel rang Hal. He was getting off a plane. They said, don't get the surgery that night. Get it in a few days' time. We want to get this right. So, again, that's a positive thing of the story. Yeah, rude shock, mate, that afternoon when I still remember, and again, people go through way worse things, but I still remember Kel leaving the hospital and my arms being up in, you know, the splints and not being able to use my phone or go to the bathroom or eat or anything like that. And I was just sitting there going, what have I done? So, yeah, that's the story, mate. I kind of, you know, reflection 18 months or, you know, years later, but 18 months later I figured out that, yeah, I just got caught out. I wasn't brave enough, you could say, or strong enough to stand up and just be like, no, this is what I'm doing. And I feel like that's what caused me to get injured that afternoon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you feel like if we were to say, why do you think it happened, maybe it was because you kind of, maybe from a spiritual connected level,
I think
maybe
so.
Going against your values and not listening to your gut and trusting your intuition.
Yeah, and worrying about what other people thought.
Which pleasing.
I still do. I'm a people pleaser and I don't mind doing that, but there's got to be, you got to draw a line in the sand, don't you?
Mm. With that accident and everything on the upward trajectory, career-wise, social-wise, love-wise, everything, how did you go mentally through that period of time? How long were you out for and how were things mentally?
Yeah, struggled. Physically at the start, obviously that was a bit of getting used to, like just, you know, no driving, no cooking, no doing anything, no exercise. And I felt that once that all got taken away, that's then it led into the mental sort of side of things. And definitely I struggled massively throughout that period of time. It was 18 months, I think it was. Like, so I did it in July. I didn't race until the following January. So like the year after, so not that next January. It was like 18 months or something. I don't know how many, like it was, I think my dad said it was like over 650 days or something like that. But at the time, yeah, I struggled mentally, but it was never, when I was struggling, it was never like, oh, I need to get back to be an Ironman again. It was like, I just want to be happy again. So that took a while, mate.
And what kind of things were going through your head for you to not think about getting back to Ironman? Did you think, fuck, career's over? Everything that I've done is like, it's that path isn't there anymore?
Yeah, it just like everything got like just taken away so quickly. And definitely, I just didn't really care. I looked at my board and ski. I didn't really care about all that much in terms of that. I thought, what have I got going on in my life? And I was waking up and not really having that much to look forward to, which is pretty sad, to be honest, because I had everything like at my doorstep, the wife, the dog, the car, the results, the house, the location, the family, the sponsors, the support, but had this thing that got taken away so abruptly. And I felt like my identity got stripped away. And I felt like, who is Ali Day? What does he do now? You know, where does he sort of go from here? But eventually it was, the story sort of goes, I was able to start driving again. I went up and started seeing my sports psychologist that was living on the Sunshine Coast then. I'd actually used her back in, if you listen to the podcast, I had a year out back in 2012 or 13 or something like that. And I used her around that time. So we hadn't spoken in a good 6 years. So I rang her on like a Friday afternoon and she was on her way back from Brisbane. And, you know, I was really struggling at that point. And she was like, yep, come up, I'll see you. And I remember driving up on the podcast. I mean, sorry, driving up and I was listening to a podcast and Hugh Van Collenberg was getting interviewed, from the Resilience Project. And this was just like the start, I guess, because I was going up to see Lisa, the psychologist, and at the same time I was listening to this podcast on the way up, and he was talking about the gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness. And not that I could write, but I could type on my phone, and I just started typing those three things in until I could start writing, got a journal. So that was just like one leaf that I turned over. And I feel like once I got that started, once I started seeing Lisa, once, you know, I could start getting in the water and moving again, things started to happen pretty quickly. I can't even really remember that time. I remember the time being injured. I remember the time struggling, but I don't really remember how fast I went from like point A to point B. And yeah, as I said, I ended up finding the love and passion for it again. And yeah, came back to race, which was awesome. And Kel was pregnant around that time too. So it wasn't just this it was a terrible thing that happened. Could have been a hell of a lot worse. But the things that came out of it on the other side were huge. And I'm so glad that I had to go through it.
If you could turn back time, would you change it?
No. No way. Just because, yeah, well, like I said before, like I learned so much about myself. I learned how to look after myself. I learned that, like, we fell pregnant, you know, like we took the time to do that.
You weren't able to go to training. So all of a sudden,
I was able to experience some things in my life for the first time in a really long time. Like, there was no pressure to come back. You know, I sunk my teeth into working at the gym, you know what I mean? Like, we created a really good community there. Just like there was so many good things that happened during that time, and I'm so grateful. Not grateful, I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm glad I went through it.
Well, you can be grateful for the experience, for what it has taught you, for sure. It's interesting that that you wouldn't change things again, even though mentally you spiraled and everything was taken away and it was fucking challenging and you weren't able to race and there was a lot of things that were taken away from you, but what you've learned from it, like you've chosen to allow that to be actually a leverage point in your life as opposed to a massive hurdle that's even like a stopping point. Scotty Reardon, the reason you and I know each other originally and his wife Vanessa, double amputee, have asked them the same question. And, you know, they say, no, I wouldn't, because we've used that adversity to our advantage and we've leveraged it. And yes, it's tough and we almost lost our lives. And there's still ongoing challenges about being an amputee. However, our life is freaking amazing because we are doing the work to make it amazing off the back of that.
So true.
And I think it's a real powerful thing for everyone listening to. It's not just athletes, but there's moments in our lives that can be, it's that opportunity. It's that turning point where we can either use it and leverage it and be better versions of ourselves because of those accidents or tragedies, adversities, or we can then choose to, you could have chosen to just, everything's too hard, I'm not going to go back and I don't see the point, and wallowed in that. And it's all valid that you went into that mental spiral and you lost your identity. But you chose not to allow that to shape and remain who you were. When you were saying there before that you had the house, the location, you've had the career up until then, you had a beautiful wife, you had really great family support and community and everything, but this one main thing was taken away and you'd lost your identity, which made you feel like you'd lost everything. What does that tell you about the human brain?
That's pretty crazy, isn't it? It's psycho. It's actually psycho. It tells you a lot, doesn't it? That well, it just makes you think, right? That you have all this stuff and then one thing gets taken away, and it's the thing you think that you obviously makes you really happy, which it does, and it did at that point. But as soon as it gets taken away, it's like you can't be happy in those other areas. I don't know why. It's just the way I was process, like the way I process things, the way I was sort of brought up, and you know, that's changed now. Like I you know, when I got back into racing, I put my foot on the start line and I told myself in that 18-month period, if I did come back, I'm going to do it differently, I'm going to think about it differently, I'm still going to do all the same training and still going to work really hard, and but at the same time I'm going to just really try enjoy the sport and remember why I actually did it. I know that sounds really cliche, but yeah, I think I learned, obviously, it can get taken away pretty quick.
There's nothing cliche about that, mate. That's your reality.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to say that because you truly feel that and you know that.
I feel like, you know, every time I feel like most people, every time, particularly athletes, like you hear the stories all the time of the athlete that something happens to them and they they always come back stronger, fitter, faster. But I feel like it's not just those things. It's the thing that they were able, that they got that time and it was a gift, you know. So anyone that is, you know, that has been injured or has gone through something like that, I always just say that. I think it's like the universe telling you something. I'm a bit spiritual like that, but.
Well, it's reality too, right? Because it's an opportunity, as hard as it is. It's that whole thing. So what it tells me about the human brain, a couple of things. One is that identity piece of our attachment to of who we are to what we do is, it sounds like, actually let me ask you that, has that changed now? Do you have a deeper understanding and a different kind of attachment to your sport there and your identity?
Yeah, definitely. But I've also got to be really careful too, because I can every now and then feel it creep back in.
Because you're human.
Exactly. So I've got to keep checking myself all the time and being like, hey, you don't have to win today for people to love you. You don't have to win today for people to care. They're not going to forget what you've done. They're not going to forget who you are. They're going to love you for being you. You know, and that's what I really struggled with back in, you know, 2019. I struggled with, am I just going to be forgotten? And I had bouts of it this year where I missed like a good chunk of the season mid-year, and that's okay, because it was just another, again, it was just another reminder that life goes on, people move on. It's not all about you. You got to find other areas that are going to make you happy. It just doesn't need to be this thing.
It's so powerful too that you have experienced that, because that's what's allowed you to get to find this different gear, like this different connection to passion of and purpose for your sport. So when I hear you talk about that, there's a couple of things that come up around the human brain. It's like we need to experience challenges in our life to reshape our perspective, and to all for so for us to check in, like maybe it was, you could have gone the other way and thought, oh shit, I think I was done anyway.
Yeah.
You were like, fuck.
No, I think I was. Done. I think, you know, reflecting even just now, like it was such a busy few years from 2004 when I had a year off to 2019. Like it was go, go, go for 6 years. Best 6 years ever too, like with result wise and things like that. But it was nice to take that time to really reflect on, okay, I was, you know, 28 or 29 at the time. What's next? It was like the next chapter. I feel like my career's been in those three chapters, that early sort of career getting started, and then I had the year off, and then we caught up during that chapter, and then I got injured, and I'm in that sort of like, who knows, I'm in like the last couple of chapters now. But yeah, I feel like it was nice to just put the book down, cliche pun, but and just like not have any pressure to sort of get back, and you know, just like really focus. Well, not focus, but focus on what I'd sort of done and what was going to be next for me.
How much longer do you reckon this chapter is, you've got in this chapter within your sport?
Yeah, well, I'm taking chapters at a time at the moment. So definitely, you know, I want to do this chapter, which is this year, and I'd love to do the next chapter, which is next year. And then I think that would be it.
Okay. What do the chapters look like beyond the sport? You've got a couple of gyms now, active. You've got a cafe here on the Gold Coast too. You've got some other things on the go that we'll speak about shortly. What does the next chapter look like? Is it kind of immersing yourself into those?
Yeah, it's I still don't know. Like I'm 32 and I still have, I know I've got a fair bit of understanding and direction of what I want to do, but at the same time I'm setting things up in the background now, right? I've got great business partners at Active that are working, you know, tooth and nail at the moment behind the scenes and giving me the opportunity to be able to go away and race and be the best Ironman that I can be, and I know that they're, you know, supporting me and my family, you know what I mean? So I'd love to continue to obviously just grow that business. It's something that it's like it's a baby to me. Like we started it 6 or 7 years ago now, which is crazy.
I remember being
at
the opening.
There you go.
Yeah, we had Coco Whip out.
That's
the front.
Right. Yes. Yeah. 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 So we, you know, we're just on the weekend, like we opened our fourth one in Melbourne, which is, oh, you know, I had a moment on the weekend where I was, you know, just standing back and just watching it unfold in front of my eyes. I was like, "Now, who would have thought that would be in this position?" So, yeah, there's obviously that opportunity, which is massive. You know, again, got to give credit to my business partners in that space. And we're looking to just grow and grow and grow and impact, you know, communities all around Australia. And then, yeah, I mean, obviously my passion is sport. It's surf life saving, but it's not just strict to surf life saving. I want to help other athletes, whether it be physical, mental, whatever. I love just being able to help people and see them achieve what they sort of want to achieve and give back in that way, because I've had people like yourself that that don't come around all that much, and I feel like it's important to give back in that space as well.
What do you think is missing in that space?
For athletes? For me, I think it's obviously different for other people, right? But I really like that connection, well-being space, the one-on-one chats or the group chats, doing some different things. They're the things that have sort of I've thrived on in my career, whether it's like you or, you know, other coaches that I've had in the time, or whether it's, you know, like someone that's not even a coach that's just, you know, an example before, as I said, is someone like Alex Rigby at the Suns. Like he's, you know, I've only known him for a short time, even Nam, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. yourself, like there's a lot of people out there that have so much to offer, and you end up becoming, they help you with some work stuff, but then they end up becoming pretty good mates and you're on the same wavelength as them. So I feel like for me personally, I know it could be different for other athletes, but I feel like there's a bit of a gap there still missing.
You, one thing that I've been inspired by with you over the years when you've chatted about, and we used to share a little bit about books that we've read, and like Phil Jackson, Five Rings, and different cool. things like that. I know that you are an avid reader and you love biographies of athletes and coaches. What are one or two that have really kind of played a big part in your life because they've made you think differently or maybe take different action or just inspired the shit out of you to get through those challenges?
I wish I had the library in front of me now to look at them because I feel like I'm going to forget some.
There's that many.
There's a few. Well, I've just... I built my career on, but a lot of my career has been shaped and helped by learning from others. Because I wasn't as, I think I said that in the first podcast, I definitely wasn't as talented as most of the people in my age group. I wasn't that great at school, but I did enjoy learning. And I wasn't a great reader, but now I love reading. I read every single day and have done. And that's probably a bit of a switch off for me, but it's also, you know, it's an opportunity to sort of, you know, learn. You might grab one thing, and I think that's important. Like as you get older in a sporting career, it can get monotonous sometimes. You've got to attach yourself to, not attach yourself, but you've got to look for other areas of motivation. So I read for a lot of different reasons, but I think the one, not recently, but I was watching Conor McGregor's documentary on YouTube the other day, and his coach, John Kavanagh's on there, and he's had him forever. And the book's called Win or Learn, and that was really good. That was like one that's, you know, it's sticking out, reading on the shelf. The other one was Michael Phelps is coached by, was coached by a guy called Bob Bowman. And right. I think it's like 10 rules, 12 rules or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard about that one recently. I've got to get that. If you hear about a book multiple times, it's
that. Yeah, and that was yeah, I mean, in his story, it's crazy, like how structured they were to get 8 golds at the Olympics, which is just insane. So both different coaches. I feel like, as I said, I feel like I'm going to forget someone here. But, yeah, I feel like in terms of like, do you mean any other sporting autobiographies?
Yeah, I'm just intrigued. It doesn't matter what you say and what you miss, but what you said there is kind of key to me of – learning so much because you weren't the most talented, you didn't have the most mongrel necessarily, you weren't the most skilled, but you were inspired by other people, and from that inspiration you take action, and it's kind of that domino effect that has allowed you to continue on with that. And you were saying, you know, you said you've got to learn, and I'm thinking, well, no, you choose to.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of athletes out there that don't fulfill their potential because they're not open to learning more.
I think I've had to, right?
Yeah, that's.
I've had to.
What a blessing that you weren't the most talented.
Exactly. You know, you think about those moments. I'm so glad I wasn't, because I don't think, again, I'd be probably in the position I am in today. But yeah, it's, you're always looking for an edge. You're always looking to better yourself. And, you know, there's so many good coaches, athletes, stories out there. I'm constantly looking at stuff. One guy that helps me heaps, and he's great at it, is you know, Keegan Smith.
Yeah,
his brother Rowan. He's a coach at the Leeds Rhinos over in the UK, and he's often like sending me things to listen to or to watch.
Cool.
He used to have this rule like years ago when I was eating lunch, and I know it's probably not, it's probably frowned upon eating and watching something at the same time, but just watching something inspirational on YouTube, like a story or some highlights of a player or a person. So,
mate, it's not frowned upon. You're a busy man with a lot going on.
If
lunchtime is the time where you can consume some stuff that helps you in your career. You mentioned Keegan Smith there, and in the first episode we talked a lot about it. I'll let people go back and listen to that. But essentially you went through part of that journey, one of those challenges back in the early 2000s that you were saying is you had a lot of gut issues and a lot of chronic fatigue, and he was one that helped you understand that the foods that you're eating that you thought was fueling you was actually draining your energy and making you fucking sick. And that was kind of the starting point of a lot of changes around your nutrition and looking at things more holistically and with your gut health. Has that played out in your whole career from that learning curve then? Is that still your focus where you're thinking about things more about, it's not just about calories in, calories out, it's about the quality of the food to fuel your engine for the long term?
Yeah, 100%. It was like a, you know, like it hit me like a ton of bricks the day we sat down at a paleo cafe in Bondi, you know, 8-9 years ago when no one knew what it was. I didn't know what it was. And
didn't know what paleo was?
No, no idea.
Back then.
No idea. Some of the things he was telling me that day, I almost fell off my chair because I was like, how is this guy telling me, like diagnosing me, and all the things that he's saying are completely true? Mm. He's like, are you dreaming? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And I was like, no, I'm not doing any of that. Are you drooling on your pillow? And I was like, yeah, I am doing that. He's like, oh, that's to do with your adrenals. This is that, this. And it just all made sense. So, yeah, to answer your question, my family still adopt all of the same principles, 100%. I think we always will. It's, you know, obviously it serves its purpose because I'm a professional athlete and it helps with that. But, it's gone beyond that point now. It's like the point of like how, you know, I want to live and how I want to raise Danny to live and things like that. I know we're just chatting off air about, you know, I'm not a good gardener or anything like that is. I'm not, but Kel is, and we want to be able to like have that sort of like lifestyle where, you know, you're knowing where your food's coming from and what you're eating. You know, people might call me crazy because I do all that sort of stuff, but at the same time, it makes a difference for me and it makes me happy.
The people who are calling you crazy don't get it.
Yeah, well, people have seen me, as I said. I remember racing at Kingscliff years ago and it was my first race back and I was, you know, unloading water out of the car and people were like, what's that? So that's my water for the week.
Did they say, have you seen the tap over there?
Like, yeah, exactly, right? What kind of, is it special water? I was like, no, it's just the water I like to have. So, you know, I've got all different, it's probably changed a fair bit since you've been to my house, mate, but all different types of weird contraptions in the house that
I love hearing about this.
Obviously.
Red light therapy.
Well, I haven't got one of those yet. I'd love to get one of those, but we've got, I use the hydrogen health light water bottle. We've got the water filter. We've got the hydrogen health shower filters in our house. We've got the EMF like emitters in the house. I've just been got onto like the, you know, the Sharkty mats.
Oh, mate, I'm addicted. every day I'm
on the Sharkty. So I got one of those. I can't believe I've gone without that. And that's only been probably 6 months, 5 months of that thing. So there's all these different things that I've had. And, you know, again, like a lot of it helps in my athletic career, but also at the same time, it helps our like household too.
Mm, I love it. And it's not normal. And we were saying that before, maybe that's one of the things that's missing with athletes. We're talking about it off air again, where there's a lot of elite athletes and sports that are still, you know, fueling themselves on all the stuff that you were fueling yourself on back in the day before you met Keegan and thinking it's high
good.
Energy. Yeah, pretty good. And don't get me wrong, it's bloody delicious too.
Those Pepsi Maxes and Domino's were good then.
Oh, I can't say that I know that. I wouldn't call the Pepsi Max delicious, but
I still remember going to the Kel would come up from the weekend because we weren't living together at stage. And, you know, again, I don't condone anyone not drinking. It doesn't matter. Like, it was just a period of time I went through my life, but I'd get the 1.25 liter on the weekend and I'd just, you know, go to the fridge, open it, drink it from, not even put it in the glass, just drink it from the bottle, put it back away.
That was your weekend medicine.
That along with a lot of prescription medications, mate, is not good.
Yeah, right. Well, my wife as a professional athlete was the same. The amount of anti-inflammatories that she used to be on just to get her through it's crazy to think.
Yeah, I used to have an ASICS shoe box. I was like, I feel like sore throat coming and I'll just grab the script out, call the doctor.
Yeah.
Done, eh?
I remember actually back in the day, you just reminded me, used to travel with my toiletry bag, and it would be full of things like Panadol, Betadine throat gargle, like all of the
stuff.
The stuff that I thought I was looking after myself, because if something had come up, I'd use that and get rid of it. Oh, mate, yeah. I forget that kind of stuff exists. The other day, I was a bit crook about a week or so ago, and it got me that flat, and I had to do a 9-hour workshop on my own the next day to run it. So I went into the chemist, and I was like, I don't even know what to ask for, but here's how I feel, and here's what I've got to get through.
Yeah.
And I was just like, here, grab this, grab that. So I got it. I thought, I'm going to do this. I remember probably 12 or 15 years ago, I'm like, I've got to do this to get through. I woke up the next day and I looked at it and I'm like, I can't fucking do it. And I didn't touch it. Yeah. I still stayed with all the natural ones, just went straight into gratitude, straight into optimism, straight into like, you'll be right. I can just continue focus on the breathing and everything. Got through it fine. I've shoved those things in the drawer. Yeah, and
don't,
just
save for a rainy day.
But there's periods of time, and there'll be people listening to this going, oh, what's wrong with painkillers? What's wrong with that? And it's such a big gap to be filled still in that space, I feel.
Yeah, I definitely, I think there's been so many times in my career, even recently, where I've had to take, had cortisones and PRP injections and lots of different anti-inflammatories over the time. It's not my first choice. I'd rather beat it or not beat it, rather just not have it. But I guess sometimes you just have to, don't you, to get through.
Well, as an athlete, especially in your career.
But
it's the in-between is where you're not then still following it up with all the
anti-inflammatories. What's the other side of it, right?
Or the tickle in the throat, you're not going to medical support.
Yeah, but definitely our toiletry bag has changed a lot from, I don't think we'd own any of the Betadine gargle stuff, but we've definitely got just lots of shitload of vitamin C, mate.
Yeah, a lot of natural stuff. And I've got herbal tonics and
I've got that.
The zincs.
Spent
and the
half my money on that.
Mate. Yeah, same. Same. All the broths.
On iHerb every day.
Yes, I'm hearing you. Mate, this episode is actually proudly brought to us by the Gentleman Hydrating Moisturizer for Blokes. So I'm opening for everyone listening.
Mate.
Yeah, I'm actually going to put some on.
Might be a bit hard with the headphones, but
this is I'm going to let you explain it, but I'm just going to explain to people who are listening and not watching this. I'm opening up a tube.
You also don't have to, mate. There's no pressure to
face cream. I want to.
Oh, you want
to? Yeah. This is my new jam.
Cool.
So we're talking about it, and Mia, the producer that's sitting in the room with us too, for her partner, but I'm like him, and I'll just pinch Marie's. Whatever Marie gets, that's what goes on my face. So this is what I need. But tell us what this is that I'm about to put on my face. Maybe I should let you say that before I do. No, I trust you. And how it came about, what it represents.
Yeah, so the moisturizer your great host is about to put on is...
Is there a technique?
There's no technique. You probably don't even need that much. It's very generous, the gentleman. Hopefully people watch that.
Okay. Do you need some more on your face? Yeah,
we can all... Between me share. And you, we
can it go can. On my arms then? I always put
it on the back of the neck and even like... it's called the Gentleman. It's two things, really. It's an amazing moisturizer.
Smells delicious.
We're actually really lucky in terms of the production of it. We almost hit it straight out of the park straight away in terms of before the tube actually came, we had a few samples. And I think we only went through one batch test, and then it sort of, we were like, no, we're really happy with everything that's in it, the smell of it, the texture of it. How does it last throughout the day? How many times can you wear it? When can you, all those sorts of, what skin types does it work on? So, that's one side of it. The other side is if you pick up the box and you have a look on the back, or you can pass it here, mate.
Even. Aussie owned, Aussie made.
Yeah, yeah. So if you look at one of the side of the boxes, it's good for men, great for skin. And you can see there we've actually got we've got a barcode on the side of the box. And pretty much what we did was we wanted to create a moisturizer, but we also wanted to, have sort of a bit of an impact, on making people, in particular guys, a lot more happier, healthier with their mental health. So we came up with 30 different days and 30 different challenges. So you scan that barcode, we've got an app, it takes you to that, it's free to download. And pretty much you go through the app and each day has a challenge. So it could be call Brett today, do something for someone else, leave someone a note, just really simple things. Turn your phone off, go for a swim, walk your dog. And they're all things that are, you know, science-based that are going to make you healthier and happier in that with your mental health. So Bart, my business partner, along with his wife Bridget and my wife Kel, created it about 2.5 years ago. And yeah, we obviously like love the moisturizer side of it, but we're also equally passionate about the men's mental health. And I feel like we haven't really sunk our teeth into that just yet. We've been really busy, obviously, with the gyms and racing for me. And but again, I've got great business partners, and it's something that we want to, yeah, like we want to grow. You know, we think it's a great product. How does it feel, mate?
I feel like I'm glowing. Am I glowing? The light's just beaming off me.
It's taking 10 years off you.
Yeah, I feel it. I'm just going to
You don't even need to do that.
I'm going to jump up and do some burpees or something now. I feel much younger. Now, honestly, I wouldn't be able to tell you whether it's better than another moisturizer or not. I know that Marie gets really good stuff for her skin, so that's all I'm used to. But here I am now. She'll be so happy that I can actually get one for myself.
Yeah.
But, mate, is this a byproduct of your mental health challenges that you went through with your accident?
Definitely. Yeah, it started up around that period of time. We wanted to do something different along with, you know, my business partners that I just mentioned. And we're like, let's make a moisturizer. And they were like, let's do it with, you know, let's make some impact there with mental health. So I think everyone's had their bouts of different episodes or experiences with their mental health. I know Bart, I can speak openly about him. Not only because he's my business partner, but he's a great friend as well, and I know that he's had his challenges over his time too. So it's something we both love, and we want to give back. And you know, as I said, we're only just starting off. It's small at the moment. It's definitely got. I feel like it's definitely got legs. It's a great product as well, and we'd love to go out and really sort of spruik that. So we appreciate you allowing us to talk about it today, mate.
Yeah, well, it was a no-brainer because the mental health side of it, I just wanted to kind of get an insight into your mind too. Having experienced those challenges and those mental health challenges yourself, does it give you more empathy for other guys, or does it even raise the question of, fuck, I wonder how many blokes are experiencing this darkness that I went through a little bit? Just in like everyday life, or you know, occasionally. It doesn't have to be all the time, but
both definitely. It changes your emotional intelligence, right, about people, because it's Trevor Hendy once said to me, like, what's the quote? Never judge a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. So it's like for a while there, I was look at this and look at that, and you just have no idea what someone might be going through, boy or girl. And Bart and I have been through our thing. If it wasn't for the people that we had around us, if it wasn't for Lisa, for me, and I know Bart's has spoken to someone before, and if it wasn't for family, if it wasn't for the ocean and exercise and mates and all that sort of stuff, and that's what the challenges have a lot to do with, we wouldn't have the tools there, as Bart's would say, to help ourselves, you know, get out of a situation like that, or at least just know what to do. So if anything, going through those tough times has taught us, it's given us this amazing moisturizer, but an opportunity, but it's also taught us a hell of a lot that hopefully we can like pass back. So that's a big, big sort of purpose point for me in terms of, yeah, racing. And I feel like that's my point of difference, and not point of difference, but that's something just so more, you know, like it's in my mind all the time when I'm at the surf club with the younger guys and stuff like that, just making sure that they're okay. And that's not to sound cocky or tip my hat to myself, but it's just like one thing that it's like you just have no idea what someone might be going through in their life. So it's very easy to not ask for help, and it's very easy for not ask how they're sort of going. So it's just a couple of things that I like to do, and it makes me feel good, and hopefully it makes them feel good as well.
Yeah, I love that. And especially when you think about athletes, where from outsider's perspective, so I was a junior athlete and then a therapist and a coach in high performance sport my whole career, and still work with elite athletes. So, you know, I've been in there. I get it with the pressure. I understand what you guys go through and how you can be triggered into mental illness or just mental health challenges. But a lot of people on the outside think, well, you've got it all. Like you just train, you do what you love, and you just train and life's bloody good and you travel and all that sort of stuff. So an outsider's perspective is that you shouldn't go through that. It's definitely changing a lot now. There's a lot more out about it. But I still, I think it's a really good thing. And this obviously isn't just to support athletes, male athletes with their, with mental illness or mental health challenges. This is for all blokes, obviously. But I just wanted to highlight that, that I think there's a there's an outsider's perspective. And then if you put sport aside, your view and my view before I went into some pretty deep, dark times too, was we weren't able to actually understand if people spoke about their challenges, like, I'm here for you. But now you can be like, fuck, mate, I feel you. I get it. I actually feel you. Like, I know what you're going through. And I know it's hard for you to get out the door and just walk around the block right now. So let me come and help you. Or like, jump on and scare that barcode and know that there's other blokes in the country that are going through exactly what you're going through. And it's fucking hard for them to just do a lap around the block on day three of the challenge or whatever it might be. So I feel like you're really creating this community as well. I'm not sure how much of that plays into it.
Huge. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously, like, the gyms are built on, you know, ACTI's built on community. So, yeah, I mean, again, I'll say it for the third time. We haven't really sunk our teeth into it yet. We really want to. It's just, yeah, we know it will get there.
Yeah, brilliant.
And as I said, like, you want, you know, the bonus is if you want to take a few years off your life in terms of looking a little bit younger, definitely get on the gentleman.
I love it. So, but it's
as I said, I swim in the chlorine every single day. I'm in the sun every single day. So I'm a sucker for this sort of stuff. You know, I was the guy that, yeah, was using my wife's stuff. I like going to Mecca. I like looking at ingredients. I like doing all that sort of stuff. And I'm as natural as they come, and this stuff's great.
Australian made, Australian owned, all natural. So there's a lot of things going for it, let alone the mental health support that
we'll do a code or something, mate. We'll do a code.
Well, I was just going to say, how can we support you? There'll be a lot of people listening now saying,
yeah, we'll do just like a 20% off code. Hey,
so we, oh, I wasn't meaning a discount, but thank you.
Yeah, we'll do a code for sure for the listeners. Hey,
and so where can they go on to?
They can just go on our website, just on thegentlemanroutine.com.au. So you can see it on there. You can even send me a direct message. We've got a great Instagram page. There's probably a few photos of me are on there, mate. We'll have to get a couple of you as well.
Mate, I've seen that Instagram.
I've seen,
mate,
how good you look with your shirt off, mate. And that's not...
thanks, mate. Is there any cream for our arms and our legs and our body as well?
You can use it everywhere, mate.
Well, that's what I'm going to... I'll be punching through these. When you said it's a bit generous, I'll be just squirting this all over.
Just
me.
Using it every day. Nah, perfect, mate.
Love it. No, that's awesome. Mate, we're going to wrap up, and I'd love to ask you, in alignment with the Unbeatable Philosophies, which is around... I believe, and big part of the reason why I wanted to get you back on, through all my learnings of adversities that I've experienced, but spending time with people like yourselves and Paralympic champions and just other genuine human souls that have been through challenges and adversities in their lives and not been beaten by them. So in your example of leveraging them, so the Unbeatable Philosophies, it's not about never experiencing challenges or adversities. In actual fact, we're guaranteed to have them, but it's having the tools and the strategies in place to support us to not allow us to be beaten. So what's one or two things that you would love to leave with the listeners to help them live and design their unbeatable lives?
Do you mean like what tools they can sort of use? Like,
yeah, anything that comes to mind. It could be about your family connection. It could be about gratitude. It could be about using moisturizer that makes you look 3 years younger.
Definitely
or 10 years younger.
Look good, feel good, hey.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I love the name, obviously, Unbeatable You, and most of my career has been about just not beating myself, but learning from myself, obviously. So I think the things that have worked really, really well for me in my career is, you know, like that having that community or really good inner circle of people that you trust and that you're happy around, that have your back and know that they love you. I've been really lucky in my sporting career and even in my just general career that the same people really since I've been on the Gold Coast and even when I was on the Sunshine Coast and even when I was growing up in Kymer, it's the same sort of circle that I've surrounded myself with that entire time. And I felt like that's been something I'm really proud of, something that I love about that it's that I've got those people there all the time and I feel like it's worked for me. And I think just the second thing would be is just giving back when you can. And the more you can give back, the better you're going to feel, and the more opportunities, the more things are going to come your way. That would be, well, you know, if it's advice or if, you know, something that I could part, you know, leave with the listeners, that'd be that.
Powerful. I love that. One thing that I think about is when I think about you is working hard. Mm. And I've heard you talk about that a lot. Like, the harder you work, the more luck you get.
100%. There's no substitute for hard work. I think it's my favorite quote. So you still got to do all that stuff. It has to be done. There's no substitute for it. So that would be, if you're going to say a third thing, that's the third thing. Hey, it's like that. Surround yourself with good people. Give back, because it's bloody important too. And because it makes you feel so good.
Mm.
You know, it makes you feel incredible. And that's, it's hard sometimes being an athlete in an individual sport, because you don't want to pass down all your tips and secrets and things like that, because you're racing that person. But at the same time, it feels pretty good to, you know, help the younger guys coming through in our sport. And and that third thing, as you said, like, you got to work hard.
Yeah, love it. Mate, is there anything you'd like to ask me before we wrap up?
Oh, mate, there's probably 1,000 things before the podcast will go for 2 hours if I'm asking you stuff, mate. Mate, what can I ask you? What's next for you?
It's funny, I sat here in this room a little while ago recording and saying...
That's a pretty open question, I know.
Yeah.
But that sort of... I can ask a heap of questions, or I can be like, what's next? And that sort, that might cover off a few different areas.
I've recently felt this energy within me that something's coming. Mm. And I said, I'm not sure what it is, but I just felt like there was opportunities that were going to come that were very aligned, and that's kind of where the next step will be. And
cool.
That was a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago, maybe not even that long ago. But anyway, those opportunities have presented themselves, but it's early days and I can't actually say what they are. But let's just say that it's aligned with everything around human behavior and human performance. So an opportunity to even more to attach to my purpose, which is to impact and change the lives of hundreds of thousands of people.
Love that. You're always going to do that.
Well, thank you.
You're always going to do that. Like, from when I first met you at Brio, and, you know, with Scotty, and you came around to my house and did the podcast, and where I've seen you go here, there, and everywhere, and even the people that you've had on the show, right? Like, that's
a big part of it.
There's some great guests on there, and the relationships you've had. Like, it's a, hopefully you'd say the same thing about me, that you could see my career going that way. And yeah, all those years ago when I met you, you could tell your career was going to go that way. It was a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Yep. And what I love about it is it went that way, but without those unforeseen challenges in the middle that actually made it leverage more.
Of course.
Been speaking
it about. Helps, doesn't it?
It does, if you let it.
Are you taking that stuff back then? No.
This cream?
No. Everything that's happened.
Am I...
In terms of when you asked me before, when I got injured, would you take any of that back? And I said, no. Would you take anything back?
Whoa, that's a, you know.
Yeah, you said before about, you know, your struggles and things
like
that.
Yeah. There's definitely things in my life that I wouldn't change.
Mm.
But, you know, my grandparents getting killed, and that changed my perspective on the world, and it changed my trajectory, and it's why I have that deeper purpose. But I would fucking definitely change that.
Mm.
I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah, that's different, eh?
Yeah, I would absolutely change that circumstance if I could, for them to still be here.
Of course.
And their big ripple effect and their impact. And
even with kids and stuff now, hey, you'd feel that massively.
Massively.
That would be so hard.
There's a big gap in my life when I see my kids and know my grandparents and how much they would be in their lives, and it's not there. And I'm very much accepting of it, but yeah, I would change that in a heartbeat.
I wish I could change it for you. Hey, if you're pulling things out or changing things back, that's one.
And definite. I feel like an easy thing for me to say that too is because of my purpose and passion to impact the lives of other people. I was doing that in Paralympic sport, like as a coach. And actually, when I chose to leave, and I said to my head coach, I just feel this pull within me, like this different purpose that I have to impact the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, and I really want to. And she said to me, she's a Ukrainian woman, she said, Brethi, Same. So Scotty.
Oh, same. Yeah. I don't know her, but I know the image. Yeah. I've seen her. Yeah.
So in Irina, and she said, Bretty, don't ever underestimate how much you are impacting the lives of many people around the world.
Yeah.
Because your athletes are inspiring people everywhere you go, and on, you know, creating Paralympic champions. And so the ripple effect was there. And I thought, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And it's not just one athlete.
Yeah. And it's every life that they're touching. And I only play a small part in that as a coach, but that connection to it. I said, yeah, actually, you're right. And the more I thought about that, I thought, you're right. And there is this pull outside of sport, which is why I went that way. However, I would change it in a heartbeat.
Get you back into sport, mate.
Oh, mate.
It's always there. it's not leaving you.
Until I come down to a training session with you, and you might say, oh, maybe you're better off just coaching, Robbo.
As I said, for the second time this podcast, I've seen you with your shirt off, mate. I've watched your videos. I've seen you move before. I reckon I'm not even going to bring a surf ski down, because I know you'd probably go pretty well at it.
I've never been on one, mate, so it might be worth a laugh. Absolutely. Where's the best place where people can find and follow you online?
Yeah, it's just my social media. I don't have Facebook. It's just Alistair Day.
Yep. On Instagram.
Yep. Go on there. Give us a follow, a like, follow along. You can see all the videos. And my wife's a great photographer, so she runs all my social media stuff. But, I feel like you'll get a pretty idea. You would have got a pretty good idea after listening to today what type of person I am. But you'll get to see what I look like in real life.
And the link tree's there to find out more about the Gentleman Cream and everything else that you're up to at Active Gym. And
yeah.
Your awesome cafe. We got back here after a couple of years in Sweden, and we saw this big sign on the edge of the Gold Coast Highway, and it says, what are you grateful for today? I was like, that's my sign.
There you go. Built it there for
you. Realize then that it's the cafe that you guys have. Ali Day, you're a legend. I want to acknowledge you for being the change that you want to see in the world. A resonating message throughout this episode has been that community has played a big part in your life, and you're doing things like the gym and this Gentleman Cream and to enhance community, giving back. People have given their time and their value to you, and it's important for you to give back. The changes that you've made in your life and how important that is for your family and other people in your life as well. It really shows that you are being the change that you want to see in the world. Thank you so much for your time, mate, and keep shining your impactful light to the world, my man.
Thanks, mate. That was bloody well said. Also, great podcast. I hope everyone enjoys it, and hopefully you'll get me back on in less than 6 years, mate.
It's a deal.
Done.
Boom.
Thanks, good stuff.
There you go. Another empowering episode, and thanks again for tuning in. Make sure you check out the show notes for any extra links or information that we spoke about in this episode. Don't forget, you can now catch the Unbeatable You podcast on the YouTube channel, Brett Robbo Coach. If you want info and inspiration straight into your inbox on how to live an unbeatable life, you can sign up to receive weekly insights and actionable steps for optimal performance and thriving in every aspect of your life, plus first release offers on Unbeatable You courses and live events. Don't worry, there's no spam, just short, punchy, value-giving emails straight to you. Simply go to brettrobbo.com/community. If you find value in this podcast, don't forget to share it around with your mates and subscribe, rate, and review. It really supports the podcast mission massively. If you want to reach out to me personally, you can connect with me at Brett Robbo Coach on social media, and that's where you can let me know who you want to hear on the show. Keep thriving, legends, and as always, remember, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? This is your opportunity to live your unbeatable life.